It's January, and it's Arizona Farm Bureau Week for us, and we are highlighting lettuce and Yuma. And to help us do that, we have Jen Diotri stopping by the studio and going to help us mix up this gorgeous salad.
Hi, Jen. Hey. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I think we're all ready for salad right about now, don't
I
you
do
think?
I do, too. You know, the whole country's ready for salad. Do you know that Yuma provides 96% of the lettuce in the country?
96%?
Yes.
For the whole country.
For the whole country.
Yuma, Arizona.
And
Yuma,
your salad.
We love you.
That's right. And today you have your salad has iceberg lettuce.
It does.
And iceberg lettuce, we grow enough for every man, woman, and child in the United States.
They can have their own head.
That's right.
This is why we love Arizona and our farmers. That's incredible,
isn't
that great? Yes. Who would have thunk that?
Well, when you look at the salad, so iceberg lettuce gets kind of a bad rap. Not high on the nutrients, but good hydrator.
Good hydrator, yes. Yeah, take a head to work with you and eat it, and then you're hydrated, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you've got enough stuff here to boost whatever's missing. So tell me how you're going to do this.
Okay, so if you're going to have a main dish salad, it better be good, right? This is a good one. This has so many amazing things in it that the iceberg lettuce is going to love you forever. So what we have here is chopped up iceberg lettuce. Mm-hmm. That goes in a big bowl. And then I've got, this is kind of the salad equivalent of a one-pot wonder, because you're going to take a pan and you're going to get two ears of corn and char them or slice them off the ear, the husks, and brown them in that dry pan. Okay. No oil or anything. You want to just char them so they get kind of nice and brown.
Okay.
Then you're going to take that corn and you're going to set it aside, but it's cooled down, so you're putting that in the big bowl with lettuce right now.
All right,
so you've
here
got
it goes.
Your ears of corn that are nice and beautifully charred.
Okay.
The next thing you're going to do in that same pan, Jen, is you're going to cook your bacon and make it nice and crisp. So now you've got your bacon, and that's going into the bowl with the iceberg. Save the bacon grease, because
you betcha,
guess
baby.
What? You're going to take big jumbo shrimp, and you're going to cook that shrimp in the bacon grease. Yes, just do it, folks. Just do it. Okay, so you've got that. That's cooled down. That goes in. The last couple of things, a beautiful ripe avocado.
Ooh, boy.
Okay. And if you're going to chop the avocado up ahead of time, just put a little lemon juice on there so it doesn't turn brown.
Okay.
A pint of cherry. Or grape tomatoes, that goes in, and then some cheese, about a third of a cup of pecorino, parmesan, white cheddar, whatever cheese you love, that goes in there. Oh my gosh, that's so beautiful. And now the dressing. The dressing is so unique. Pesto mayo. So it's store-bought pesto and mayonnaise. If you don't want mayonnaise, you can use Greek plain yogurt. And then I've got a little lemon juice, salt and pepper. You can put a shallot in there. But look at how beautiful this is.
Thank you for the recipe. Enjoy. You can find that at rosieonthehouse.com on our blog page and on Jen Diotri's 1 Minute Kitchen.
That's right. I've got a video for you step by step. And Jen, let's dive in. I'm starving for salad.
Let's do it.
And if you type in lettuce to rosieonthehouse.com, you can find it. We've got an article there with all the details of today's broadcast, along with a link to that recipe. I'm actually, for the first time, I think, in my life, I'm hungry for salad. Avocado, shrimp, lettuce, romaine, all tied together. I think they're finally a winning combination there. We're joined with Julie Murphy of the Arizona Farm Bureau and John Boltz of Desert Premium Farms, talking about farm fresh lettuce, a big crop in Arizona this time of year. Yuma's the biggest lettuce producer in the world, the county of Yuma. You said 150,000 acres?
About 150,000 acres, yeah. We're the lettuce capital in the winter months. So we have to hand the crown off to Salinas, California in the summer, but we're king in the winter.
And I know you have your romaine, you have your leafy lettuce, you've got iceberg. What are you looking for in your acre yield for crop? I know let's just start with iceberg. How many head of iceberg lettuce come out of an acre?
So it's about 24,000 to about 35,000. It depends on what format, how we arrange the plants to be grown. And they're all grown on beds, which means they're slightly elevated, about 7 inches. So they're separated from the water that we're irrigating them with. And that can produce anywhere from 35,000 to 55,000 pounds if you do it in pounds. So there you go.
And what's the reason for having it elevated above the water? I think maybe that's not something I do in my garden, maybe why I don't have great success with lettuce.
So the great thing is lettuce is mostly made of water, but it doesn't like to get wet necessarily. And our very dry climate in southern Arizona is great for growing lettuce for that reason. Mildew and other things will start to grow if the leaf surface is getting wet. Secondly, we're using river water to irrigate with, and it's great to be able to use that wonderful natural resource and grow such a wonderful and healthy crop. But we'd like to keep the water separated and furrow irrigate so the water is flowing in the furrow and not touching the lettuce. So it's great for the lettuce. It's great to keep the lettuce separated from the water that may have. Come straight out of the river system. So, but it's a good technique that we use to keep food safe.
Could you do drip irrigation for lettuce?
We can, absolutely. One of the great things about the water system in the United States for agriculture and why it's so essential is that agriculture is using water to produce crops, and we're trying to keep food as affordable as we can. And one of the unique things we have in Arizona is we move a lot of water by way of gravity, and furrow irrigating and not having to have a diesel or electric powered pump to pump water for drip tape, that does save a lot on energy and a lot on cost. And in Arizona, we're blessed. We kind of stand on the shoulders of giants. About 100 years ago, a lot of this infrastructure was put in place, sometimes in some areas like Yuma a little longer ago than that. And that infrastructure provides for irrigating using gravity flow. But we use those same systems to deliver for drip. And depending on the crop, some celery crops, a lot of watermelon crops are grown with drip tape because it is the most efficient and best way to grow the crop. And over time, I think we'll see more use of drip. But right now, furrow irrigation is still the best way to grow it efficiently and affordably.
And if you're leasing the land, you don't want to risk the cost per acre to do drip. It's anywhere from $2,000 to $2,500 an acre to install. So drip is more expensive. It is one of the most efficient ways to water your
crops. I was just thinking for efficiency, because I know the wine country, they do drip irrigation, but that's a whole different story.
And we actually have a lot of drip here. One of my cotton and alfalfa farmers is using drip, and I know some other areas within Arizona, they're doing more drip than ever.
Infrastructure's a big factor. When you're talking about trying to get water on 2,000 acres, you're not running, 400 feet of PVC pipe for your backyard. I mean, that you've got to recover that cost, and that was a great point about if you're leasing the farm versus owning it, your return on investment for that infrastructure, you'd be 10, 20 years before you recover that investment to switch your irrigation techniques.
Which is why most of the ones that are doing the drip, they actually own the land because they've calculated out their return on investment.
Now, you had mentioned multiple planting seasons. Can you get more than one harvest of iceberg lettuce in a season?
We can. It's a tough squeeze. That would be planted in September, harvested in early November, and then we could replant. Because we are planting these fresh vegetables from early September, late August, through into January. And in the case of spinach and stuff like that, spinach and spring mix, it's a little bit shorter. We're actually planting on into February. So, you can. That's a common practice in other areas that are growing during the summer months where your days to produce the crop are a little bit shorter because of the warmth and daylight hours. But in the winter months, some of the iceberg lettuce that we grow can take 110 to 115 days to grow. So that's pretty tough. That's a one-crop deal as far as the vegetables. But we are able to rotate to another crop afterwards, like a cotton or a wheat.
And the reason that Desert Premium Farms, your farm, can constantly be harvesting during this entire 4 to 5 months of the season is because you've staggered your plantings, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. We work with our clients that market those vegetables all over the U.S. and Canada, and we're working closely with them months and months beforehand, making sure we have the right pieces of land to do the growing that they need for their customers. And we're working with them. They tell us when they want to harvest, and we work backwards to make sure that we supply it on that date. So that's why it's key for us to have the unique climate that Yuma has, a very low amount of rainfall, but we have adequate water available. We rarely have extreme cold temperatures like we're having last week or so, but We have pretty normal weather, pretty regular weather compared to most other places in the country, and very, very little hail or things like that that are extremely damaging to fresh vegetables.
In our 7 o'clock hour of this Saturday's broadcast, we were talking about Yuma, and one of the stats we found from the National Meteorologist website, whatever, 4,000 hours of sunlight in Yuma makes it the sunniest city in the world.
It's a great place to grow fresh vegetables in the winter and grow other crops the rest of the year. It's also a great place to fly airplanes. They say we have 360-plus days of flying weather in Yuma, Arizona. So, yeah, we're good for quite a few things.
And do y'all fly a lot?
I don't. Typically, playing in the dirt is where I spend my days, except for when I'm on the radio with you, of course. Really.
So my dad's a flying farmer. He's retired, but he's been a private pilot all his life, and he loves it. And that's not uncommon. There's a lot of farmers that, if they don't golf, they decide they're going to be pilots.
Well, and our family crop rice in southwest Louisiana, it's all planted by airplanes. You know, you think of airplanes and agriculture as crop dusters, but they're seed planters. You've got to get that water rice broadcasted in your irrigated crop because it has to be underwater for rice to germinate properly, which is why we don't farm rice in Arizona. Well, we do a lot of flood irrigation, but not standing flood.
And speaking of what farmers' technology they use, I know a rancher that uses helicopters to round up his cattle because he is in such rough country. So there's all sorts of technologies that farmers will employ.
Now, what type of, I'm picturing my very modest, very humble backyard garden, and we constantly joke about it. The third Saturday of the month, we bring in Jay Harper, and we talk about personal gardens in the back, and we always joke, you have to have a plant prison to protect your investment. And it always blows my mind looking at these thousands of acres of crop that don't have nets over them to keep the birds out. They don't have barriers to keep the rabbits out. I mean, do you just have dogs and guys with shotguns guarding against the rabbit invasion around the around your property?
No dogs, Romy. That would be another no-no. So we actually do. We use lots of different means. For some particular farms that I farm, I feel like I'm the king of the 8-foot fence. We do have some deer that live in the desert that like to come to the irrigated valleys to get a little drink and find something a little more scrumptious than what they find in the desert. And we can't have any wildlife in our lettuce fields. So we're doing anything from trapping rodents in the area to make sure that that population is zeroed out in the fields. We're going to produce fresh vegetables. And we have fences to keep other animals out. But some fields don't require that. They're in areas where they're surrounded by other farm ground. They're not bordering the river or things like that. So, but when we have, when it comes to birds and other things, we do have people doing a noise deterrent and other means. Sometimes
scarecrows, birds of prey are being used. I know some of our wineries are really leaning on those.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's University of Arizona, who does great research to help us do a great job of producing the crops that we grow as efficiently and affordably as possible. They're doing a lot of research with birds of prey right now as far as for rodent control and other things. But yes, there's a lot of things out there that want to eat the lettuce instead of us serving it to you guys. So we got to watch out for those.
John Boltz of Desert Premium Farms, a Yuma farmer, and Julie Murphy, Arizona Farm Bureau.